Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's the dawn of a new midday. Kresh and Keith on WEI.
Brown gets it to go with a pretty play on top. Brown, three, good!
Over 3 weeks or under 3 weeks? Oh, my goodness.
Woo! Look at that. Jackhammering it in is Brown. Here comes Brown. He has been stellar. 19 points. Got that one to drop. Bulldozing inside. Brown got the feed from Thompson. Weaving here. Brown now with 27. Brown will put up a three. Got it right there. He is on fire. Inside. Driving. Brown cannot be stopped.
That's what it sounded like on TNT last night. Kevin Harlan gave the breakdown of Jaylen Brown, where he was born, elementary school, college.
Gotta have it.
Oh, that guy. But anyway, Celtics are hot. The Bruins look good. So we're going to take it to the people here at 617-779-7937 with Kresh and Keith here on WEEI, WEEI Sports Radio Network. And the Celtics have won five in a row. The Bruins look good against the Islanders, and we're heading down that home stretch, Keith. So which team is more ready for a playoff run? And that's what we ask you between the Bruins and the Celtics, 617-779-7937.
I think it's the Bruins. I really do. I think.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I do. They just beat the Islanders, which is something they needed to do. They hadn't done it all season. They'll get another chance to do it tonight. I like the moves that they made at the deadline. I think all these guys are going to be helpful. And so you're not even relying on, oh, we're going to get 100% of our guys healthy and back, because I don't think you can rely on that. But if you do, you have pretty good depth. Tuukka's back, and it was one game, but, you know, that's a good sign. And I think they're in a better position to compete with Washington, who recently they split with. I know they had that one stinker, but they had nobody playing defense. They had their fourth goalie. So it was like, that was kind of an outlier, I think. But I think they're in a better situation than the Celtics. Even though the Celtics have won five in a row, you can say, all right, no LeBron, no Anthony Davis, no Jamal Murray, and we're talking about, ooh, maybe they can get to the fourth seed, and maybe they can have home court in the first round. They still have Milwaukee, Brooklyn, and Philly in their conference. So if you add it all together, both how they're playing, but then combined with what's around them, I would say right now the Bruins have a better chance of advancing in the playoffs than the Celtics.
Between the Celts and the Bruins, who's more ready for a playoff run? 617-779-7937. Always on text 37937, and of course on Twitter at Kresh Keefe. I think it's the Celtics for really a couple of reasons. Number one, I'm trying not to think about the matchups per se, but it's hard not to because, like you just mentioned, it might be the Bruins and the Islanders. Just like in the first round, it might be the Celtics and the Hawks. And as much as Nate McMillan has done a really good job of turning the Hawks around and getting them to a point to where they're not just this wild offensive team that doesn't play defense, I admit I don't trust Atlanta. And that's, for me, where maybe my mind is polluted. It's polluted in many ways, I understand.
Yes.
But it's polluted with the Celtics because they find a way in the postseason. And when I look at the Bruins, they're great goal scorers. Pasternak's one of the best. We know the Marchand can score too. But can you do enough to try to make it tough and take those guys away? And that's where it's a little different than relying on Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, because they have the ability to generate their own offense when they need to. And I do worry about Tuukka. I have to say, like, I'm not soured on Tuukka completely.
Like, worried what? That he won't show up? Or no, worried that he's going to be bad? Because he was good in the playoffs when he played 2 years ago.
The mentality that he is going to say, this might be my last run, and that he is going to dig deep and go back to the glory that once was. And not that Swayman is there and is ready to just pick up and say, okay, I'm the goalie for this team for the future. If I look at the stars, right, there's only so much Pasternak and that first line can do.
Right.
You need the goaltending to come through. And with a rookie, it doesn't matter how great the rookie is. I would be one who would not be picking teams with rookie goaltenders as much as they can get hot and go on
but
a run.
But it's happened. I mean, we Jordan Binnington beat the Bruins right. that year. And Tuukka Rask was great, by the way. 2 years ago in the playoffs, he was great. And they made it to a Game 7 of the Cup Final. And they could have won the whole thing. They had a little bit more scoring in that game. They could have won the whole thing. And we look at Tuukka a little bit differently. And I'm not even the biggest Tuukka fan in the world.
And I'm not a Tuukka hater either, by the way.
Point that out. No, and you're
not
alone.
I'm kind of at the end of the run with him. I just don't think there is the fire there that is commensurate that you need to win a Stanley Cup.
But I also don't think that you need, you know, Dominic Hasek or Martin Brodeur to win a cup. Like, we've seen enough teams over the years that have had either above average goalies or, you know, good goalies that went on a great run type of thing. We've seen that happen. So I think that they, again, you talk about, you know, Brown and Tatum and the Celtics figuring out, well, they haven't figured out how to get to the finals yet, whereas the Bruins were in the cup final with a lot of the same group just 2 years ago.
And I understand that. But I also understand with the Celtics that, you know, other than LeBron, what 19-year-old walks in and, like, lights the league up and goes on big playoff runs? And even then, it took LeBron a while. Like, with Celtics, we're waiting for them to break through. With the Bruins, a lot of things, it feels like the Celtics are on the precipice of maybe breaking through, whereas with the Bruins, it's a lot of, you got to have a lot of things go right. And this is a weird playoff year, too. That's the, like, it's just in terms of the structure and the way it would normally be. You know, I think that plays into it. So maybe I've allowed that to seep in my head somewhat. But I think the Bruins have the ability to win a round. Now, if they're playing seven against the Islanders, I'm not so sure about that.
See, like, I think they have a better chance of winning the whole thing than the Celtics do, based on the sport and the based on just sort of even recent history. Because it's not like the Celtics have always gotten the most out of their team. I mean, they had a 3-2 series lead over LeBron in the Eastern Conference Finals, was it 3 years ago, and blew it. They lost Game 6 and Game 7.
And Tatum was what, 20?
Yeah, okay, but they had a 3-2 lead. So I don't care if he's 5 years old. They had a 3-2 lead, and then you cough that up and you blow it.
And it is LeBron.
So last year, they were better than Miami. They should have been better than Miami, and they lost that one. They got outcoached by Spoelstra. They didn't know how to stop Bam Adebayo, and Jimmy Butler just kind of bullied them around. So,
and to me, that's the normal growth. That even the issue is, like, when the Celtics were trying to break through, or excuse me, when Detroit were trying to break through the Celtics of the 80s, it was just one team.
Right.
When we were waiting for Michael Jordan to break through, it was just one team. The issue with the Celtics is they get to that point, but it's Miami, or it's somebody else who's there that sort of knocks them out in the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, they lose to LeBron.
I mean, they lose to
Miami.
They lost to Milwaukee. Like, they've lost to everybody.
If it were one team, then I think we might feel a little different about them sort of, quote unquote, knocking on the door. Because it would be, well, at some point, if it were Milwaukee, for example, it would be, well, we're going to break through that. We're also comparing eras in the NBA where there wasn't free agency. You know what I mean?
Obviously different, but you're right. There was, you know,
teams.
It took Detroit a while to beat Boston, then it took Chicago a while to beat Detroit, and on the way you go. But now that you have Brooklyn, Milwaukee's better and Philly's better than they were a year ago. And so I guess the question is Boston even better? Like, is this even the best Celtics team of the last 3 or 4 years? Whereas I think those other three teams that are above you, it's clearly the best team that they've had in a while.
The other thing, too, with the Celtics is we haven't seen them really with Fournier. And there's a part of me in the back of the head that's like, okay, that's going to change rotations. You know, we're not going to see the cryptid Romeo Langford who keeps getting minutes. Was it, 16 last night again or something like that? All right, let's go to the phones. Sure. Bruins or Celtics? Who's ready to go on a playoff run? 617-779-7937. Bob is in Hull with Gresh and Keefe. Bob, go.
All right. There's too many guys on the Bruins that need to cement themselves in the legacy of the game. You got Tuukka, who's got a Hall of Fame career but has never won a cup. You have Bergeron and Marchand. Krejci won one cup, but was it enough? You know, the young guys like McAvoy that want to cement themselves. I just do not see the Celtics ready to actually make that push. Well, the Bruins, I think, need to get it done this year, and they know that, and Don Sweeney knows that.
Bob, I think it's a good call, and I also think it's because you look at the core of the Bruins, like this group of the Bruins.
Last hurrah.
Pretty close. Yep. Whereas the Celtics, no. Like, unless Danny gets impatient, like, Tatum and Brown should be together for a while, mm-hmm. and it's going to be the pieces around those guys and them growing. Like, to your point, there's not a lot of 19, 20, 23, 24, 25-year-old leaders of a championship team.
Look at Jimmy Butler. Like, that
took
guy
a little
was
while
one, right?
To get after it, yeah.
And maybe that's the NBA, and maybe something that is worth analyzing, right, is that impact of free agency in terms of, like, stalling certain teams out. Like, we never thought when Danny robbed the Brooklyn Nets, right? We weren't looking down the road and thinking that, like, a couple years later, and I know that trade went down in 14, but even just now, I never would have thought Brooklyn would have been the place that would have been the home of a super team. Like, Lakers, Spurs,
Miami.
Big name brand Miami, because LeBron had done that. Like, I thought, okay, like, the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, it turns out.
And now.
Right.
If that group stays together and say they hold the say the Celtics can't break through that group for the next 2 years, are we going to look at it and be like, well, Tatum and Brown, to hell with them. We got to throw the babies out with the bathwater. Or is that now a different sort of aspect in that ascension of trying to break through and get to an NBA
Finals?
Well,
it's hard to be patient in the NBA because you see how teams can so drastically change their results by a couple of big trades, or in reality, a couple of superstars agreeing to go play somewhere.
There you go. Yep.
You know, Kawhi Leonard got traded last year of his deal in Toronto or in San Antonio, goes to Toronto, and things had to kind of fall into place for them to win, but he goes to the Clippers. They're one of the best teams because he wanted Paul George to go. LeBron goes to the Lakers. They win a title because he was able to get Anthony Davis there. Brooklyn right now looks like they could be the favorite to win the whole thing. So if you're a team, you're saying, all right, are we forced into drafting and developing, or can we somehow get involved in this super team mix? And then what you also rely on is guys being friends with other guys. So
yeah,
that's where it's like, all right, is Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown going to be able to kind of grow this thing together and become a super team, if you will, at some point with them as the heads of it? Or do you look around the league and say, all right, Tatum, you're best friends with Beal, so you got to recruit him here and you got to force his trade out of there. Like, is one of you guys friends with somebody else? And, like, how do you do it? Or do you just try to stay patient? You know, the Golden State Warriors model, which, again, is hard to pull off. But they drafted Curry, they drafted Thompson, neither were top five picks.
And
they drafted Draymond Green the second round.
Right.
And they won a title that way. Now, obviously, they went and got Kevin Durant because they had sort of built up their team the way that it was. Durant wanted to go there. That made it much more easy to win two more titles. But those are the kind of different strategies that you have to have. And right now, the Celtics are in the point where, all right, we got the two guys that they drafted. And you got to hope that, you know, you make some good signings in free agency, maybe a couple of smart trades, but it's going to be built all around those two guys. But to the caller's point, I don't think they're there yet either.
You said something about super teams that I want to touch on. Mm-hmm. Hey, tell a friend about Gresh and Keefe. You can also watch us do this show if you are so inclined. WEEI.com/watch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Seltzer Bruins, which team's more ready to make a playoff run? 617-779-7937 or text to 37937. I wonder if the dynamic of Tatum and Brown keeps one of them from doing what KD or Kyrie did. Like, when Kyrie went to Brooklyn, it was, I'm going to find a way to bring some more people here, and he started working Kevin Durant. As you were sort of workshopping through that, I'm thinking in the back of my head, when you said Bradley Beal, right?
Yep.
So let's say Tatum, come on, Bradley.
Right?
Does Jaylen Brown go, yo, what are we doing here?
Or does he
want his Bradley Beal? Like, I wonder with the, and I want to call it a tug between those two because I don't think we're there yet. But I wonder about the egos of those young players, and could they come together and say Bradley Beal, or, you know, insert player X as to whomever it would be. But I wonder if that might be getting in the way of some recruiting for a super team.
Yeah, I don't know how that would play out because, yeah, it does seem like there is something about that relationship that's not perfect. And like, again, I don't think they have to be best friends.
They're professionally cordial.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's not, hey, I'm going to hug this guy after we win kind of thing.
Like, because I would, like, Curry and Thompson probably could have kept winning even without Durant, but Durant wanted to go there, and, like, they all figured it out. You know, Draymond Green basically stopped shooting, and the other guys, they were able to get theirs. Like, in today's NBA, where everybody's scoring 115, 120 points, you can have three guys scoring in the 20s and maybe all being happy, but it's a matter of, yeah, do they fight over who it is, or is that just a move that Danny Ainge makes and says, listen, we're getting this guy in here, and you guys figure it out? Because I feel like they kind of did that with Gordon Hayward, and it didn't work. Like, right. Gordon Hayward was a guy that, okay, that could be one of your... Look what he's doing in Charlotte prior to the injury. He was back to scoring a bunch of points and leading the team, but it didn't work with this group. So it's also tough because at a certain age, not only can you not win it, like, are you more willing to accept these guys in here? Like, Jaylen Brown just made the All-Star team for the first time this year.
Right.
He's not, like, this perennial five-time All-Star, like when Pierce, Garnett, and Allen all got together. Like, they were already sneaky Hall of Famers, or close to it. Garnett certainly was.
Definitely.
Before they even teamed up. Whereas these guys are still trying to establish themselves in the league, and I think that's a big difference.
And look at Philadelphia. Like, they haven't been able to, quote-unquote, find that sort of third superstar, if you consider Embiid and Simmons superstars. I think that's another part of that discussion as well, is one is a little bit of a unicorn in terms of Ben Simmons, but does he really fit? And Embiid can be great, but he can also, I think, be a little bit of a pain in the ass as well in terms of dealing with him on that roster. But even they haven't come to an accord on, say, who would be that other guy that they're recruiting.
They've moved on from different pieces, and, you know, they signed some big contracts like Al Horford and got rid of those guys.
And it feels like Milwaukee's done. Do you agree with me that it feels like Milwaukee's got Middleton and they've got Giannis
and Middleton's playing out of his mind. Middleton's had a great year. They got Giannis. They made the big trade for Jrue Holiday. They tinkered with the team. No, I think that they're set. They're either going to win or lose with, like, this group probably for the next couple of years.
It feels like the Eastern Conference, other than Brooklyn, it's like the two stars and then a whole bunch of other... Whereas with Brooklyn, it's
three.
We got those three studs.
Superstars.
Even though they did lose LaMarcus Aldridge to retirement with an issue with his heart. Dave in the truck on which team's making a run. Dave, go ahead.
Gresh, Rich, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Hey, Gresh, first of all, welcome to WEEI. I never really listened to 98.5, but I think both you and Rich, you guys have a great show. And keep up the great work.
Oh, verbal hugs right back to you, friend. Thank you.
Hey, Rich, and Slow Burn is easily the best segment that you guys do on this show. I love it.
Good stuff.
But Rich, I got to agree with you on the Bruins. And also because it seems to me that the Bruins are coming around into their groove right now with those trades that they picked up, Riley, Hall, and Lazaro, Laser. I think, and plus Tuca being back, and I think now that they've beaten the Islanders, if they could take one tonight also from the Islanders, they kind of put that over the hump. I think they would have the best shot. I'll hang up and listen.
I think they definitely have the best shot to win the whole thing. Like, if you had to pick one of the teams to win the whole thing right now, I think it would be the Celtics, even though I would say the way things are heading right now, the Bruins will actually have a tougher first-round opponent.
Very much so,
it's just one of those things, like the way the playoff format is in both sports, the Bruins will probably be, you know, a slight underdog against either the Islanders or the Capitals, whereas the Celtics will be a favorite against the Hawks. But then when you're talking about advancing after the first round, like if they both get out of the first round, now you're like, things could be cooking for the Bruins
path
here.
Could be very different.
That was like a couple of years ago when the Bruins, remember, all the good teams were losing. Actually, it was the year they made the cup, and they played, was it Toronto in the first round?
And Tampa and got beat along the
Tampa
way.
Tampa got smoked.
Like,
everybody got smoked. Pittsburgh got smoked out. So they played like Carolina in the conference finals. So they actually played like a worse opponent every round until the Blues. And even the Blues, regular season wise, wasn't the best team in the West.
And then we know how that ended as well.
Yes.
617-779-7937. You can always get us via text 37937. Atlanta loses. The Celtics are tied for fourth in the East, but this is interesting, Rich, because Brad Stevens, we know that Stevens had been on the whole, okay, we got to get better starts. That was a big theme a little while ago, is that can we get off to a better start? Brad Stevens revisited that yesterday.
We have to play better if we start well. But starting was an emphasis today. You know, if you go back and watch, you know, specifically the Brooklyn game that LA played, they started off great and kind of set the tone for the game. And we have not started great throughout this stretch of games. As we said earlier in the year, you know, when everybody was focused on our fourth quarters and our fourth quarter wasn't very good tonight, or at least the middle part or the end of it wasn't great.
We don't start good, we don't end good, but between we're pretty okay.
The scrubs were horrible. Like the scrub, there's like five guys you can just send back to Maine right now. They were so bad at the end of that one. But in the grand scheme of things, that doesn't matter. But the start was, it was all Jaylen Brown, and they just took it to him. They never trailed in the game. They just start to finish.
And they got out of his way.
Yeah, they did. They're like, all right, this guy's got it tonight. Let's feed him.
And I love that about this team, and I hope that is one of the things that continues, because you don't want to force that. Like, let Tatum be the guy who, if it comes to him late in the game, he's more than capable of taking that shot. If the opponent ends up taking away a guy like Jaylen Brown, who is, again, he's right there. He's the Robin to Batman. But can he really, truly break through and sort of take it to that next level? I will refuse to use Jordan and Pippen. However, I will go like Stockton Malone so that I can make an NBA, even though it's not the same position.
Ooh.
A little NBA analogy.
Yeah,
there.
It's not. No, nothing's Jordan and Pippen, but like, what's another duo that can. I mean, honestly, Curry and Thompson, and Curry's going to go down as one of the great players of all time, so even that's kind of unfair.
Parker Duncan.
But, Duncan's one of the five best players ever, or seven best players ever.
Tony Parker would have been a Celtic if it wasn't for Red Auerbach. That, according to Chris Wallace.
How about
that was the Joe Forte pick. Oh, yeah, Red had that pick. Really?
Joe Forte.
We'll go with We'll go with the guy that hasn't made a pick in a long time, and we'll just pin it on him. Quickly, John is in Maine with Gresh and Keefe. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing,
guys? What's up,
guys?
John? Good, John. What's up?
Hey, I think the Celtics, and I think the reason is I just think they're built a little bit better for the playoffs, because Kemba, when he doesn't play, you know, they definitely have a downturn in their performance when he doesn't play. But I think the biggest thing is everybody assumes that Brooklyn's going to have their big three for the playoffs, and, you know, they haven't been playing. They've been injured. And I think if, you know, one of them re-injures, then I think that leaves an opening for the Celtics. I think if Brooklyn, you know, holds to their form and all three of the big three can play, I think the Celtics can't do it. But I don't just assume that, you know, Harden and Durant are going to come back healthy, because they haven't played in a while.
It's a good point. They haven't had a lot. Yeah. I was just going to say, John, they haven't had a lot of games together with all three. But here's the thing about it. When they got Harden, it was insurance for all of that. Like, we looked at it as insurance for Kyrie, but it was also for Durant injury. And so every series Brooklyn's in, with I guess the exception of, you know, if they played LeBron in the finals or Kawhi Leonard in the finals, they will have either the three best players on the court or two of the best players on the court. So even if one of them is gone, Kyrie, unfortunately, as much as we dislike the guy, Kyrie and Harden is better than anything else you have here.
And do you think that group came together because it was, ooh, we want to win a championship, or ooh, we want to win one and beat LeBron along the way?
There's probably beating LeBron. I think they all have their reasons for beating LeBron. Harden's the only one of that group that hasn't won a title yet. You know, he played in one when he was young in Oklahoma City, but that's the only time he's even been there. And I mean, I think they just like playing together. Like, they only look at each other as peers. They look down upon everybody else.
Yep.
So they're like, all right, this is sort of like an all-star game on this team. And so, I mean, at some point, just the talent is going to overtake everything else.
Quickly, who would win in a 40-yard dash, since that has come up this week with Shime? James Harden or Shime? Put him in the 40. Who would win?
Is Shime allowed to do a Naruto run? If so, Shime.
Yeah, if so, me. It's not even close. Yeah.
I would vote Shime on that.
I think so.
Yeah.
Fact. James Harden would be too busy dribbling.
Yeah. And, you know, putting up a triple-double.
True.
Dribble. Fact. Dribble. No defense. New defense. Shoot. Oh, a foul's called. He's going to the line.
Meanwhile, he's averaging 25, 11, and 9.
I love that. They can have him. He's a big baby. Just wait. Tough spot.
Still waiting here. Killing it.
Tough spot, fourth quarter. We'll see. We know what happens with that guy in the playoffs.
Well, then he'll just pass it to Durant or Irving, who have all hit big shots.
Maybe.
Yeah, probably.
Let's see.
OMF.
Go ahead. Whoa.
Six. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
I gave the nod. Yeah, it's okay. We're good. It's Friday, and it's snowing. What the hell?
Still. Everything's off.
Yep, still snowing.
Trending now, brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram's Jeep Celebration Event. Save up to $7,000 on all new Jeep SUVs and Ram trucks. Jaylen Brown went for 40 as the Celtics cruised past the Lakers 121-113, winning their fifth straight. They take on the Warriors tomorrow at the Garden at 8:30. The Red Sox win streak is over. The Twins walked it off in the ninth thanks to Max Kepler. They're at home for the White Sox tonight if it would stop freaking snowing. So
well they just played a game in the snow the other day in Minnesota, so they're probably used to it. I think they're undefeated in the snow,
aren't they?
I wonder
what the monster looks like covered in snow.
Probably like a white monster.
Nice visual.
Looks like a Yeti.
Wonder if they get
Abominable snowman.
Abominable snowman, yes.
Wonder if they get heaters in that broadcast booth.
They probably need them. First pitch, 7:10. Pre-game, 6:10. You can catch all the action right here on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. And if you're in the Boston metro area, you can listen to every Red Sox game this season on the new Odyssey app. Make sure to download the Odyssey app today. Bruins overcame their kryptonite last night. Taylor Hall scored his first goal as a Bruin as they beat the Islanders 4-1. They get the Islanders once again tonight. Puck drop is at 7. And Red Sox manager Alex Cora will join OMF today at 2:15. Trending now also brought to you by Newport Mansions. Picnic with a green giraffe, Chinese dragon, and $1 million view. With the stroll, the gardens grounds package, you can enjoy landscapes, gardens, and fresh air at the Breakers. The Marble House and Green Animals Topiary Garden. Picnic baskets welcome. Visit NewportMansions.org. All right, John?
Did you say dragons?
John, yes. Chinese dragons.
I couldn't get past it.
All right.
John, like, fell over.
I do like
chair.
Dragons.
I think this sounds great. I'm excited. It sounds like
today
a
would
year.
Be an ice dragon.
Yeah, today would be a tough
one. Do you think?
That it would be.
It would be, it would be the Night King's dragon.
Right. Take the wall down, though. No problem.
I'm Chris Scheim. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Lord.
In the words of Mad Dog Russo, baseball! With Rob Bradford next.
More Crash and Keith right now on WEEI.
Bradford Show. That's my open? That's what they used to call me, Swivel Hit Bradford. That's my open. I'm waiting for you to justify your stupid opinion. Bradford Show. That's delicious.
You know, this is the first time I've heard the Bradford Show theme. When he said the whole hips,
Swivel Hips.
Is he claiming to be a pelvic sorcerer?
Yeah.
Our friend Rob Bradford from WEEI.com. Uh-huh. As we can see him here in the studio, Rob Bradford's going to break down some Red Sox for us. Pelvic sorcerer, Rob Bradford.
If we have the video up, I might as well do it, right? I might as well show put my money where my mouth is. But I will save that because I'm not confident that I get workers' comp when I obviously pull something. So that was a long time ago. I cut that reel. And so we have moved on to just sitting here with my dog over
cut
my shoulder.
That reel. Nice. What are we doing? Talkies back in the 40s that's here? Right. I love that. That's pretty good.
First audition tape.
That's my audition tape.
Well, speaking of going back in the day, I know that there were some Red Sox fans who are hopeful this team would be able to go back in the day and channel some success. And right now, Rob, like so far so good. What has stood out to you in this early Red Sox run?
The manager, the man who is on our radio station at 2:30 today, on the radio station every day, Alex Cora. I think that he has jumped out to me because I think subtly he had a lot to gain and a lot to lose, right, guys? I mean, the fact is that we hadn't seen him. He was coming off a 2019 season that wasn't that great. Obviously, he sits out last year. And then this year, we're wondering, hey, is this the 2019 version of him or is this the 2018? And really, you know, having watched these games pretty closely, there hasn't been a lot of things to really criticize him about. And you go through Ron Renneke last year, out of the gate. Oh. And it was like out of the gate. It was like, what is he doing? What is he doing? What is he doing? And this guy, Cora, is on the type of 2018 run right now. It's only 13 games in, which honestly, I had forgot existed. He's doing really, really well.
Yeah, I'm with you on Cora because he had really no adversity his first year. They just start to finish were a great team. They were talented and they won a lot. And then the next year they were disappointing and then he was gone. So it was like you were looking for sort of a tiebreaker season to see just how good of a manager he is. And I guess we know that some managers are 100% whatever the computer tells them. Like, all right, here's the lineup. Here's when I take my pitchers out, whether it's, you know, Blake Snell in the World Series or whatever. Where does Cora fall in that? I know he likes stats, and he definitely listens to them, but compared to like the old school manager versus the new computer manager.
Well, thankfully, I don't think he errs on the side of the front office is telling me this or the computer is telling me that, and I have to do it. I think he's his own guy. We saw that in the 2018 postseason. We saw that at times during that year where he wasn't afraid to have a guy going third time through the lineup. And isn't that a refreshing change? Yes. I mean, I think this is one of the biggest things is where Ron Renicki last year, honestly, like, listen, I'm not busting on Renicki too much because
seems like you're kind of taking this guy to task here.
You know, in fairness, he can call in if he wants to.
Guess I'm too dull to be around.
Thanks, Ron. Thank you.
But he had a crappy team, right? He had not had a lot of to work.
Horrible.
With.
Yeah.
But I will say this. To me, he got caught in between of a guy with a one-year contract trying to do what he thought that the front office wanted him to do and really what he wanted to do. I think there was too many instances of that. Cora's just going to do what Cora thinks is right. And for the most part, as we saw in 2018, as we saw this year, usually it is the right thing to do.
Rob Bradford at WEEI.com. Give him a follow on Twitter at Bradfo, B-R-A-D-F-O on Twitter. Can you pinpoint why Matt Barnes has had such success this early on?
Well, it's funny you say that, Andy. I took a deep dive into that just the other day. And everyone said, oh, he's throwing harder. No, he's not throwing harder. And he's working slightly quicker, which thank you, Matt Barnes, for working quicker. Mm-hmm. But here's the weird thing. Through all the analytics and through all the changes, and we say he did this or did that, literally it is the little league, throw the ball over the plate more. And in this case, it's the older kid in Little League going up against the little kid in Little League saying, hey, you can't hit what I have. And that's all it is. He's throwing the fastball more, a little bit more. The curveball obviously is really, really good. But he didn't throw a first pitch ball until the 18th batter of the year. He's throwing a ton of strikes. And again, isn't that refreshing?
Yes.
The fact is that, hey, you know what? Just hit the ball. If you can hit it, great. But if you can't, you're going to get out, and I'm going to get you out more times than not.
Now, the bullpen's been a real bright spot for them, led by Barnes. But one guy that has not been great is Adam Ottavino, who I was excited about. I was really looking forward to him coming over. I know he was bad last year, but so was J.D. Martinez. So was a lot of people during that type of season. But what have you seen out of him? It's been five appearances, really, for the most part, not very good. Gives up the game winner yesterday. What are you seeing from him, and what do you think his role ultimately is going to be?
Well, I know, Rich, why you like him. Because he has that pitch that is on the side of the wiffle ball box.
Yes.
You know, that you're like, if I grip it this way, it is going to go obscenely from right to left.
Right.
And
I love
and
that.
It is.
Because he played with my buddy at Northeastern. That's also why I like him. Nothing wrong with that.
You guys had an excellent interview with him. Yes. Yeah. The Babe Ruth question was once again excellent.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, I think that his stuff is still there. He still has the fastball, about mid-90s fastball. He has the aforementioned wiffle ball slider. I just think he's gotten off the little bit of a slow start. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. And here's the thing, guys. If he is any good at all, then what a terrible look it is for the Yankees. You have two guys who potentially could be pitching in the eighth inning for the Red Sox in Ottavino and Garrett Whitlock, which you get from the Yankees for nothing. For nothing. Forget about the Babe Ruth is over now. Mm-hmm. Garrett Whitlock and Adam Ottavino has made up for it, right? Correct?
And Ramiro Mendoza when they got him to.
Oh, that's right.
Add him to the pile.
Of course. There you go.
Rob Bradford with us talking some Red Sox baseball. We will give away Red Sox tickets in the noontime hour here with Gresh and Keith. Alex Verdugo, a couple of really good games. Are we just seeing him really settle in and scratch the surface here, Rob? Or are you maybe expecting some wild fits of inconsistency?
I think he's a good player. I mean, he's a good player who has the potential to be an all-star player. Now, how good he becomes, I still don't have any idea. We only have last year. We have a short sample size this year. I did find it really interesting watching yesterday's game where you have the opportunity against a really good lefty and Cora leaves him in to face him. And obviously that at-bat yesterday was the best at-bat of the year. 10 pitches, goes the opposite way, clears the bases, 3 runs, you tie the game. But he could have easily pinch hit J.D. Martinez. But this is another thing that Cora's done right. I mean, he keeps the guy in. He gives him the confidence. He said, you are an everyday player. You are a lefty-on-lefty guy. You are an all-star. And you know what? For a guy like Verdugo, I would imagine that goes a long way. Now, are they going to put billboards up at Dodger Stadium saying thank you, Dodgers for Alex Verdugo, like they did with Mookie Betts here? No, not yet. I mean, who knows? Maybe Connor Wong becomes that guy. I don't know, but I do know this: is that he's a good player on a team that desperately needed to get a good player in that spot when Mookie left, and Mookie and Jackie left town.
Well, and speaking of the Mookie Betts trade, just going back to that, do you know, does Jeter Downs project to be a player this year in the majors, or is he still another year away?
Only if a bunch of guys get hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, is like, you don't want to put that on the back of the baseball cards, right?
Nice. That's a hot prospect.
Made it to the majors because a bunch of guys got hurt. No, but he's still like, he's, if not their top prospect, right, one of their top prospects. So in spring training, he looked pretty good. He's trending the right way. The weird thing to me was they didn't play him anywhere but shortstop at spring training. And everyone thought, oh, he's going to be your next second baseman because you have Bogarts at short. But he didn't play anywhere but short. So, which is sort of strange because I would want to integrate him there. And also, like, maybe this is, you have to make you think down the road, is, are they planning, if Bogarts opts out after next year, just in case Jeter Downs is going to be your shortstop? I don't know. I mean, right now he's not close to Bogarts, but he's a good player. Listen, I mean, they got a good haul for Mookie Betts. All things considered, right now as we sit here, it's not a bad return.
Rob Bradford, WEEI.com is where you can read his work, at Bradfo on Twitter. And thanks for joining us, not only on the air, but also on Twitch today, where people can see your fresh plastic still on the right ear of your brand new headphones that you haven't peeled off the other side.
Well, yeah. I was the last one to get one of these contraptions.
Look at that thing. He hasn't even peeled the fresh plastic off.
Contraptions? You mean headphones?
I thought you were going to look at, see that picture of my dog? It's like, my dog is still alive. And yet we have a memorial of him up on the wall.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty sharp.
You're married. I get it, dude. Like, you didn't make that choice, bro. No, I get it. No. I got a golden retriever. You kidding me? Yeah. This thing sleeps in our bed. I'm on the one side, for God's sakes. Rob, thank you, friend. We appreciate you hopping on with us. Up next, the Washington football team made some people say WTF with their list of future nicknames. I will present them to Keith next.
Right back to the Meat Sweats.
Meat Sweats. I was listening to Meat Sweats the other day.
Instead of sweating your bets, you're getting the Meat Sweats.
Fresh and Keith on EEI.
Oh, we'll give you some bets before we're out of here today. And not Mookie bets, some real bets in the 1 o'clock hour. With Gresh and Keith here, WEEI, WEEI Sports Radio Network. Red Sox tickets next hour. 11:49 is the time, and why not have a little group fun here?
Here we go.
Because we've all been waiting with bated breath for the Washington football team to become the Washington somethings in the NFL, right?
How about a team name? And as we know, Gresh, firsthand, picking a name, not super easy.
Not easy.
We thought we were going to be creative, and we landed on Gresh and Keith.
That's right.
So I think these guys have their work cut out for them, although it is embarrassing to just be football team and to sell merchandise to your fans called football team. That is embarrassing.
Now, I will defend us in that we had 13 minutes to figure it out. They've had at least 13 months to come up with this list.
And in reality, they've had years.
Let's face it, they
kind of should have seen the writing on the wall there. But anyway, so they are now trying to come up with something else, and you have a list.
So here is the list that they have sent to season ticket holders, offered up the list of names, asking them to, quote, select your two most preferred names.
Oh, so you get to pick two? I thought Ron Rivera was in charge of picking the team name. He's now outsourced it to season ticket holders?
Well, he's looking for a quarterback.
Okay.
So. They want the fans to weigh in.
All right, so fans get to pick two, and then you go from there, and maybe like a voting situation. All right, what do you have?
The Griffins.
The Griffins?
The Griffins is the first one on this list.
As in now, the mythical creature?
That's right.
Oh, like a winged lion? Is that what a griffin is?
Not
the Peter Griffin.
I went to, for part of my sophomore year of high school, I went to Tri-Valley High School, and they are the Griffins because Tri-Valley North was like the Lions, and Tri-Valley South was, I think it's the Eagles, right? Because a griffin is an eagle and a lion.
So basically what you're dealing with here, it's a legendary creature with the body, tail, and back legs of a lion, the head and wings of an eagle.
That's right.
And sometimes an eagle's talon as its front feet. I am a yes on this one so far.
I like the idea of a griffin.
Now
the NFL.
Like Washington Griffin, but whatever. I like the Griffin. I'm in on Griffin.
I prefer DC Griffins.
DC. No. I think Griffin. Is it Griffins?
Griffins.
It's Griffins.
It is.
Oh, they it is. So Griffins. The plural, it's not like a moose situation.
No, 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 no,
does that mean
it's
two?
Griffins.
So there'd be two of them lurking near the logo? I don't know.
I mean, it's like Patriots. The Patriots.
Yeah, come on, Griffins.
Oh, okay. I got you. I got you. The Warriors would be next.
Out,
the Washington Warriors.
What is this? Every eighth grade basketball team?
Very much
I'm out on the Warriors.
The Armada. The Washington Armada. Sponsored.
What would the logo be, though?
Dude, yeah, you know it would be.
Is it like a giant ship?
It would be the giant R of Ramada Inn, who they would probably get to sponsor the team.
No, I'm out on that. I don't like that one.
The Rising.
The Washington Rising?
Absolutely not.
No, I don't like that.
The Swifts.
Explain that.
I don't know.
Why is it the Swifts?
I don't know the Swifts. I don't know. I don't know.
Taylor Swift?
Maybe is that a big investor that they
that
have?
That was a job suggestion.
It's the new family that's going to own the team.
Suggestion. All right, here we go. The Swifts are a family of highly aerial birds. They are specifically similar to swallows, but are not closely related to any passerine species. Swifts are placed in the apodiforms with hummingbirds.
Can we just stop? If you are the cryptid expert, if you're reading this like that and you're like, wait, what is all of this? I'm out just on principle. The griffin I can embrace.
If it's like a hummingbird, it's the smallest bird in the world.
Well,
so
there you go.
You're a football team
like that.
And your nickname is the Swift. That's horrible. That shouldn't be on the list.
They don't even have DeAndre Swift. You can't name your team that.
Good point. Or Stromile Swift.
How about the Commanders?
Nope. I'm going to reject that one immediately.
Pilots?
They're the pilots?
Nah, yeah, we're good.
So you have the Jets on the other side. Tonight we're like, hey, we're the pilots. We're flying your Jets.
Yeah.
No, I don't like that.
The Rubies. R-U-B-I-E-S. The Washington Rubies.
I didn't realize there were going to be gemstones.
Then. Is that what it is? Like the gem?
I'm assuming there might be some sort of weirdo bird reference here in these Rubies. I'm not
they're
sure.
All birds.
I'm not going to bank on it, but you know, it's not R-U-B-Y-S as in Ruby as
you
in
could
the.
You have some cool uniforms, though. Just all head-to-toe Ruby. Kind of a shiny little number.
How about the Renegades? That's very textbook, too.
That's kind of, that seems, hasn't there been an XFL
team?
Only
if they
Renegades?
Come out to Foreigner all
there,
the time.
There were, yes. There, and I don't know what The Rock is thinking in terms of maybe using Renegades.
Terrible. No, I don't like that.
Here's another one. DCFC. The Washington, D.C. Football Club.
Is this a soccer team?
I was going to say, this is not a football team.
No. By the way, there could also be the CCFC, which would be the Washington Capital City Football Club.
I hate that even more. I hate it so much.
How about the Monarchs?
Nope.
The Presidents?
No.
Dumb.
The Washington Wild Hogs.
In on Wild Hogs.
Yeah, absolutely in on Wild Hogs. I am too.
Wild Hogs. I love a Wild Hog.
Anytime I can make a Pumbaa reference, I'm in.
Pumbaa, sure.
The anguished oink of the pig man rings out. If you remember the pig man episode
pig
of
man.
Seinfeld.
Pig man.
We have the Red Wolves.
So I like Red Wolves. Red Wolves is good. Red Wolves I thought was going to be one of the ones because if some of the fans just love the idea of like Washington, they were so obsessed with the Redskins, and it's not as much of a departure. You can keep the colors close to the same, and now you're just the Red Wolves.
Yeah.
I don't mind that.
I can buy
that's
that.
That's not bad.
The Aviators.
Nah.
The Wayfarers. I mean, that's got Wayfair sponsorship all over
I know,
it, right?
But
Washington, D.C. isn't even like a port city, is it?
I don't know.
I
couldn't speak to that.
The Ambassadors.
Nope.
I don't care for that.
The Aces.
Nope.
Worse.
How about this? FCFC, they'd be called First City Football Club.
No, thank you.
What about FCFU?
Yeah, WTFY, right? Archers.
No.
Beacons.
Nope.
No.
Belters?
Nope. Belters?
Because of the whole
belt. Because they had Adrian Peterson.
Well.
Right?
Oh, my God.
Would that be why?
Hey, that cracked me up. It ain't right, but it's funny. Well, because they call that the whole beltway down there in D.C.
Right,
that whole thing.
Oh, I got you. Yeah,
the Red Tails, Razorbacks, can't steal from Arkansas.
So Red Tails isn't bad.
Red Tails was clearly the best one.
Red Tails they had.
But that is too close to maybe what it
used
to be. Like,
well,
everybody
the Red
else
but it's
is
honoring
like,
it's the Tuskegee Airmen.
Well, they used that. But there were a lot of people who were like, it's too close and too
so
icky
maybe,
to Redskins
but
for some people.
So Griffin and Wild Hogs and Red Wolves.
They have Defenders have the and football team are the next two. Defenders. Is
can I ask a question?
Of course.
Whatever happened to alliteration?
Form? Well, it's not. You don't see that.
Why
all
are there
over
not
the
more W's?
The Washington Wankers.
Yeah, but like, there's. Not,
I don't care what the W is.
Look
just
at the NFL.
More W
though.
Options.
There's not a. It's not. It's not all alliteration.
Yeah, but alliteration sounds good.
You love alliteration.
I love alliteration. It's so, a great literary
what your,
device.
What would your? So that's why you have Warriors, and that was one of the worst ones.
No, like at least Red Wolves. Like there's a W in there. Like,
oh yeah, and it hits.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
All or right. Even just the Washington Wolves.
Washington Wolves.
Wolverines.
The Wolverines.
The Wombats.
You know what they do? They poop squares.
They do. It's true.
It's true. Wombats do.
It all comes back to poop, doesn't
it? If we could
it?
Tie in the Tim Allen movie Wild Hogs to them being the Wild Hogs.
Yeah, John Travolta in that flip.
Oh, that's what they need. Tim Maybe the Tool Man Taylor on the 50-yard line doing the coin flip. That'll be awesome. Coming up, we're going to get back to the night that was in Boston sports. Happy birthday, Bill Belichick. His thoughts on spending money in the offseason next.